for our second discussion on this issue of expanding periods. Today I'm going to talk to you about expanding a period by repeating either the period altogether or repeating its individual members, that is, the antecedent and the consequent. Any kind of repetition is possible, or any kind of mix. Let's begin, though, with the idea of repeating the antecedent alone. That is actually fairly rare, but it may not seem so right on the surface. I remember when I was talking about this to a friend of mine some years ago, he immediately popped up with the idea of, hey, what about the 12-bar blues? In 12-bar blues, you've got 3 4 measure phrases. The first two are the same, and the third one is different. So, in other words, the form is AAB. Wouldn't that be the antecedent repeated and the consequent following? Well, in fact, no, it isn't, because the 12-bar blues are not in a period structure at all. That's the real trick to it. They're not a period. Let's listen to one to be sure we understand this. Have you ever been down, so this is the first phrase. Notice that's a full close. It's a tonic. Now she repeats the phrase with variant. And again, a full close. Back into the tonic. Now, here's the different phrase. So, the reason this is not an expansion of a period is that it's not a period at all. It's actually a very little tiny two-part song form, which we'll be covering in later lectures. But it's not a period because the A and the B phrases are not in a periodic relationship with each other. The same holds true for the grand old bar form, as it's so called, that is back all the way back to the Middle Ages. It was very common among the Minnesingers, who are the German equivalent of the troubadours and the trouvères. This is 13th century for the most part. And very, very common form. Let's go over one of those just to be sure we know what we're talking about here also. This is our first phrase. Still first phrase. Okay, now the phrase is repeated. And it comes to a full close. Now the different phrase, which is very short. In the bar form, the B phrase is often extremely short. What's important to realize, though, is that this is not a period. It is an AAB, which is a two-part song form. That's an AB, a binary form, in which the A form has been repeated. Let me just let you listen to that one once more so that you can really hear how these phrases are not in a periodic structure with each other. So, in point of fact, repeated antecedents alone, that is, only the antecedent repeats and not the consequent, are actually kind of rare. Fortunately, I have a number of resources that can help me with this, so I didn't have to go hunting through music endlessly to try to find examples. And somebody else has already done that, I guess. And I have a couple of examples for you. The first is from Beethoven Quartet, Opus 18, number 3. It's a really good example. The antecedent is simply repeated verbatim, except for being a little higher. And then the consequent is heard alone. The performance I'm giving of it is much slower than Beethoven actually wrote it. I'll actually give you a chance to hear it. So here's our antecedent ending on a half cadence. Another half cadence. Then consequent modulates actually to the key of the dominant. So this makes a good example. It's again the antecedent. It's in D minor, and the antecedent itself goes to its half cadence that is then repeated an octave higher, and then the consequent actually modulates to A minor. Incidentally, this gives you a very good demonstration of what Tovey meant when he said being on A versus being in A. The antecedent ends on a half cadence. The A, the five, or the A in this case, the A chord, you're on it. You're not in it. But when you get to the end of the consequence, you're in it because you're in A minor as opposed to being on. Let's hear the thing again so that we're sure we know what we're doing. Going to half cadence. To half cadence, then. We go to the full cadence. So that's a really good example of this idea of the antecedent being repeated. I have one more example of that, and that it's fun. It's actually modern. It's by Shostakovich, and it works almost exactly the same way, as a matter of fact, as the Beethoven. Antecedent. Repeated. Verbatim. Then consequent. And it goes on from there. So it's definitely got a periodic feel to it. It sounds like a kind of a modulating period. Of course, it's a more modern piece, so it's playing around with the harmony some in a way that an earlier composer wouldn't have. But still, it's a very good sense, a very, very good sense of the repetition of the antecedent alone. Now, far more common, of course, than repetition of the antecedent is repetition of the consequent. I think that makes sense when you think about it. It's a pretty good rhetorical device, the idea of repeating the end of the phrase, repeating the end of the period, makes it all the more emphatic. So repetition of the consequent alone, and it may either be really verbatim, the consequent, or there may be a few small changes. Here's an example of that by Mendelssohn. Here's our antecedent there. Now, consequent. And then the consequent again. With the real strong ending. You'll notice that the first consequent, the first time we heard the consequent, it ended on an imperfect authentic cadence. That is, it ended on the fifth scale degree in soprano rather than one. And then the next time, it ended on a perfect authentic cadence. That's just good solid writing, you know, when you think about it. That way the phrase doesn't become too predictable. It's, therefore, you have the different kind of cadences holding it together. The antecedent ending on the dominant of the relative major, which is kind of neat. So in other words, 5/3. And then the consequent, the first consequent ending on an imperfect, and then the second consequent ending on a perfect. It's very, very well done. So seeing that it is, why don't we hear it again? Huh? That's our half cadence in E flat. Then it's repeated. I have another example just to help you with this, and this is from Beethoven. And in this, again, the antecedent is pretty obviously so. We're in A flat major, it goes to 5, to an E flat chord. The first consequent ends on an ever so slightly delayed cadence. It's delayed via a chromatic passing tone. And then the second consequent avoids that passing tone altogether. Very delicate, very well constructed. Here it is. Here is the half cadence. That's a dominant. Now a consequent. And here's that chromatic passing tone, and the consequent repeats. So you'll notice that in both of these examples, the repeat of the consequent was not verbatim. And in fact, the first consequent was less conclusive than the second. It makes perfect sense. You don't want this just to turn into a bunch of flat phrases sort of plopping down one after another. So it makes sense that the first cadence should be less conclusive than the second. Now, It is, of course, possible to repeat both of them. You can do a repetition of the antecedent and then a repetition of the consequent. You have to be very, very careful in such a situation that you don't mistake this as a double period. We haven't done double periods yet, but it can become an easily mistaken thing. But it's, generally speaking, the composer will hopefully make that somewhat clear. In this example, this is by Mozart, and the antecedent itself is repeated absolutely verbatim, so it's really simple. The consequent is actually modified just a tiny little bit, so that the first consequent ends on an imperfect cadence and the second consequent ends on a perfect one. You're going to find that that's pretty common way of dealing with stuff like this. So here it is. Antecedent, half cadence. Then the antecedent is simply repeated. Now, first consequent, imperfect. And perfect. Now we're going to listen to that one again because it's going to be easier to hear it now that you know it's in F major and you know that those first notes you're hearing, the first pitch in the melody you hear is the second scale degree and not the first. So we'll need to hear it again for that. And here it comes. Half cadence. Verbatim repeat. Imperfect cadence. And perfect cadence. Now, composers can really go to town with this sort of thing, as you can well imagine. I mean, if they really want to, they can really expand things out. This is a kind of fun here. This is an example of a Mendelssohn where he takes a basic period structure and he manages to stretch it way out. What he does is that he takes his antecedent, and he's pretty simple with the antecedent. There are few modifications on the repeat, but he repeats it. All right, so it's a repeated antecedent with a few modifications, no big deal. The consequent that follows is an expanded phrase. And as a matter of fact, it's highly expanded. The expansion is basically within the phrase. It's an expansion within of which he takes a little sequential idea and just keeps using it in a sequence. And then the consequent expands it even more when it repeats. So in other words, it starts out as an expanded consequent already, and then on the repetition, it gets expanded even yet more. It's quite a nifty construction. Here it is. Now it's repeated with a little modification. Now the consequent is here, which is really expanded by all these sequential patterns. But then he's going to repeat the whole consequent, but changed now. So we have there a really beautifully expanded structure with both parts repeated. Now once again, be very careful that you don't confuse this with a double period, which, just to get ahead here a little bit, but the double period is an antecedent and consequent followed by another antecedent and another consequent. All of those joined together as sort of an uber period. This is two antecedents and two consequents. If you boil away the repetitions and you boil away the expansions, it comes out to a very simple, basic, parallel period as a result. So you want to make sure that you don't confuse it. Another thing that you can do, of course, and this is much simpler, is that the whole period can be repeated. In other words, the antecedent and the consequent can be stated, and then the whole thing can be repeated. It might be repeated a little bit with some ornamentation or some changes, but it's still just basically a repeat. The first type of this, though, the first kind of repeat is the simplest one in the world, and that is you just plop a repeat sign at the end of it. So it's an antecedent and a consequent and a repeat sign. I don't even need to give you an example of that. Those are so common. A little bit of variance, though, is fairly common as well. Here's a Haydn that shows that. Antecedent. Consequent. Now repeated with a different figuration in the bass. So in other words, the period itself, the whole period, has been repeated, just with a slight different bass, nothing more. Here it is. Consequent. And you notice that it's a modulating period. It starts in D major and it winds up in A major. Haydn also, in his orchestra writing, had a penchant for adding flutes to repeats of things, and he wrote a lot of periods, so you might have something like a period which is then repeated with a flute added or something like that. This is all very common stuff. Once again, though, this is not a double period. It is just a period that's been repeated. We'll talk about double periods at length in a future lecture. They in themselves are very easy. The trick is not to confuse them with just a simple repeated period. Repeated period is just two periods, one after another, that their only connection really is that it's the same material, maybe with some variation.